Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. You're about to hear one of television's fast-rising content entrepreneurs. The two ventures he's formed, Comedy Dynamics and Estelle, knows no bounds, going from stand-up specials and the toys that made us on Netflix to the reboot of Mad About You, reteaming Paul Reiser and Helen Hunt for Spectrum Originals this November. Brian Volk-Meiss joins me at the bottom of the hour. Also ahead, The Walking Dead's creator picks up Tomb Time on Amazon, What's Up with Mr. Mom and Apple TV Plus, our classic trivia question, and two shows to know from the Tribeca TV Festival. Hello everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow we televise. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a trio of audiobooks when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details in just a few minutes. 70 degrees at the top of the hour, and we welcome you on this Friday afternoon to the program All About Television. Got a wonderful guest in store for you in the hour ahead, and we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. Get interactive with us. Very simple to do. Just pick up the phone and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. We got a big chat room going on right now at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and you can get in on it. Just use SimonApple04 by name, and we are waiting for you. And while the program is on the air, you can connect to others by using Facebook Timeline. Click the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk or Speaker screen. Follow the instructions of other people. We'll be live with you. And before we get to our guests and other things, let's give you some news notes. Robert Kirkman, creator of The Walking Dead, is a few weeks away from launching an animated series worldwide. The project is Super Dinosaur, adapted from Kirkman's popular comic book about a boy and his Tyrannosaurus Rex. 10 episodes played on Canada's Teletoon Network earlier this year, and on October 6th, all 10 of those half hours will debut on Amazon Prime Video, along with TV Enterprise in Australia, Israel, New Zealand, and Latin America. Now some quickies. David Goyer, the award-winning author of the Dark Knight movie and such TV shows as Da Vinci's Demons and more recently Krypton on Sci-Fi, has signed a multi-year development pact with Skydance Television. Goyer is now producing Foundation for Apple TV Plus through Skydance. A new Last of Mohegans TV series is in development at the BBC. And Sister Circle begins its third year Monday as a noontime hour on TV One and various daytime slots over 10 known television stations in selected markets. And that is news notes for today. Over the years, it has been our pleasure to have on this program the president of NAMIC. That's the National Association of Multi-Ethnicity in Television, one of the major television organizations promoting diversity in the medium. We were hoping to have on this first half hour the newest of the NAMIC presidential lineup. Her name is Aishanice Washington, and about a year ago, she went from being head of the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation to her role as NAMIC. Right before their Diversity Week event here in New York at the New York Marriott Marquis Hotel. She was supposed to be our guest today, and unfortunately, at 9:30, 10 o'clock or so this morning Eastern Time, we learned from NAMIC's publicist that unfortunately she has an emergency, and she needed the time to deal with it. It's not life-threatening, and she's not very happy about the fact that she had to cancel out at the last minute, and we are going to reschedule her for sometime probably week after next because of all the Diversity Week activity going on here in New York. I can tell you that earlier this week we had a wonderful conversation in an interview that we did for Media Village. That's the website that I write the Tomorrow Televised column for. And hopefully either next Monday or Tuesday you'll be able to see the results of that interview in a column I put together earlier this week. So check it out if you can next week at www.mediavillage.com. That's www.mediavillage.com. And again, we will try to have Aishanice Washington, the second year now at the head of NAMIC, on a future program before the end of the month. So we're going to do things a little bit different because of the sudden absence of Aishanice Washington. Usually, we would move up our second guest to fill the first half hour. That, unfortunately, is not going to be the case with Brian Volk-Weiss of Comedy Dynamics and Nacelle. He has a meeting right now, and as soon as he gets out of that meeting, he will join us around the bottom of the hour. So Instead, we're going to do some of the features that we usually do regularly on this program, our classic trivia question of the week. We have an up segment for you, and we have a show to know, actually two shows to know, that we picked up from the opening night last night of the Tribeca TV Festival, very well attended at the Regal Battery Park Cinemas in Lower Manhattan. And both shows, by the way, were produced here in New York, and both of them, I think, are going to be very much worth your while. So we'll get to that later on this half hour. But first, let's do Up, as in Update, where we catch up on guests and topics on this program. At the end of Monday's episode, I did extended commentary about two developments this week. One, the unveiling of Vudu's first original scripted series, that Vudu is the Walmart video on demand service that's available on smart TV sets and smart devices. And that series is Mr. Mom. It's the new adaptation of the 1980s movie hit starring Michael Keaton and Terry Garr and put together by MGM. I said at the time that it was really surprising that Mr. Mom was not getting a lot of publicity, despite the fact that Walmart and an event here in New York back in May made it quite clear that they want to be a major player in television through Vudu. They announced a very ambitious schedule of scripted series, specials, children's shows, shows for the entire family. And they also announced that they were also going to put together Echo. That's the interactive TV platform where you can choose which way a program goes, which is doing a lot of interesting stuff with some major Hollywood talent. And that's here, by the way, that platform is scheduled to launch sometime this fall, either as part of Vudu and or as its own platform available on smart TV sets and devices. So it came across as a little dumbfounding that Mr. Mom has not gotten a lot of attention. We haven't seen a press release from MGM Television or from Walmart. We've seen trailers on Vudu's website, but not much else. And even with Vudu's commercials campaign, their promo spots running on YouTube and other parts of the web, it doesn't mention Mr. Mom. The good news is that we have contacted the publicist for the show. That person is trying to get the executive producers here, and hopefully before the end of the month, we can get them. Nevertheless, the show premiered yesterday, and I still find it surprising that there hasn't been much said about the show. I have yet to hear a review of the program. I don't know if this is the case of one of those, well, we're embarrassed about the show, or we don't think it's good enough that we should not say anything about it. I saw the trailer, and I saw the initial trailer at that event back in May here in New York. I personally think it was fun. It was fanciful. It was fun. I thought the acting was pretty good. I liked the tone of the show. And I hope they were surprised by what comes out. Anyway, Mr. Mom now is out, and you can find it at www.vudu.com. And again, Vudu is available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. No matter what, keep your eye on Walmart. They really want to be a major player in television, both with Vudu and with Echo, EKO. The second part of the commentary, the big part, was on Tuesday's announcement from Apple. And the wondering was, what were they going to finally say about Apple TV Plus? Were they finally going to give us the big information? The name of where the service is going to launch, what shows, what original shows will be on, and the pricing. Sure enough, between 1 and 1:30 Eastern Time, 10 a.m. to 10:30 Pacific, Tim Cook, head of Apple, finally did it. And let's give them credit for giving us the information right at the top, as opposed to waiting and waiting and waiting until the very end, 2 hours later. If you haven't heard by now, even under a bunker or something like that, or under a foxhole, here's the deal. Apple TV Plus launches on November 1st. They will have 7 original series, a couple specials, and the first Oprah Winfrey documentary that they've contracted to at the start. They will run 3 episodes of those original series at a time, at first, and then they will do new episodes and add more shows as time goes on. It's going to be priced at $4.99 a month. However, if you buy a new Apple hardware, an Apple TV, an iMac, an iPhone, an iPad, etc., you will get Apple TV Plus for a year. And on top of that, they also announced that Apple Arcade, which is their video game service, that will also be distributed on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, will launch next Thursday, September 19th. Let's be clear here. I have not been a fan of how Apple has publicized both ventures, especially Apple TV Plus. I think that until Tuesday, the publicity, the lack of attention by PR people has been frankly abysmal. but they made up for it to a great degree on Tuesday with that announcement. Again, I like the fact that they put it right up front in the first half hour. They showed a trailer from C, very interesting series with the premise of what if there's a society that is blind from the get-go. It'll be interesting to see how the disabled community looks at this show. And I understand that there are disabled people that are in the program, some in major roles. So we'll see how it happens. Stephen S. DeKnight created the series. He's been on our show many, many years ago when he was doing Spartacus, The Stars, and other shows since. And I really do think that this venture has a shot at working. And I also like the fact that they've made the price simple, and they also have decided on this hardware. I think it's genius, because it will get Apple TV in front of ultimately millions of people who over the next year will buy an iPhone, an iPad, et cetera, et cetera. It's also great to know that tomorrow night at the Tribeca TV Festival, Apple will have a screening of one of those original series that will premiere on November 1st, called Dickinson, with Hallie Steinfeld as star and executive producer. There will be not a Q&A during the screening. There's also going to be a red carpet event tomorrow night. I'm sorry to say that because of the fact that the screening has been sold out, which is a great thing, and the fact that the red carpet is so small that they cannot accommodate a lot of people, yours truly will not be there. But give credit to the Tribeca TV Festival for giving Apple the chance to showcase Dickinson and for the creators to show up. Now, here's what Apple needs to do next. It's important that Apple not, between Saturday night and November 1st, it's important that Apple not do anything. It's important they do something. So here's the something. I suggested this on Monday's show, and I'm going to repeat it again. Do an all-day or half-day event here in New York with Jamie Ehrlich and Zach Van Amberg, the Apple TV heads of programming. Maybe get Tim Cook in or Eddie Q, the head of Apple TV. Get as much talent in front of behind the camera, in front of press and public. Do it in an Apple store. Do it somewhere in New York. But do something that gives the press and the public the opportunity to see these programs and to ask questions and to learn what's in the pipeline. And by the way, great thing on Apple's part, unlike what they did in the spring, where they did have press releases on Apple TV Plus that mentioned the shows and who's doing them, and also the same thing with Apple Arcade. And incidentally, I'm really looking forward to Apple Arcade coming out next Thursday, and the ability to have, and by the way, Apple Arcade is a very important venture. Do not underestimate what this venture is all about. This is the first effort at interactive gaming over your television set where you can play high-quality games, games made for the medium, and you don't need a PlayStation, you don't need a Nintendo Wii, you don't need an Xbox. All you need is remote control, a controller, and maybe your voice because of artificial intelligence. This is going to be the first example as to whether or not interactive gaming is going to be a major part of TV's future. Don't forget, Google also is not far behind with Stadia, that will also premiere this fall. And Electronic Arts is also starting to think about doing a service that may also be on smart TV sets. So there's a lot of writing on Apple Arcade's launch next Thursday. And again, if I was Apple, I would do a special event here in New York and one in Los Angeles, again, to showcase the game developers. And while you're at it, let's see what else Apple TV has got. How about putting Apple News and making that an Apple TV Plus service? Let's see. Bottom line, great for Apple that they finally came out with the vital information they should have come out with 5-6 months earlier. Now it's time to deliver. It's time to come out with quality shows, and more important, it is time to promote those quality shows and do them in a major way, not in a fickle way, not in a silent way, not in a way that you don't have PR people talking to press and the producers talking to press and so forth. Let's hear Apple loud, proud, and clear. One other thing before we move on. Because we have ventures like Apple TV Plus and BET Plus and HBO Max and whatever Comcast and these versions are going to call their service next year and Disney Plus, we've made a decision here on Tomorrow Be Televised that for these services, we will invite them to take part in a 90-minute or two-hour special edition that will simply highlight their work. Well, for example, with Apple TV, we do an episode 90 minutes, 2 hours in length, before the launch or the week of the launch, where we have, in Apple TV's case, Jamie Ehrlich, Zach Sandberg on for the entire program, and we go each half hour to an individual series. 1 half hour of the morning show, just off the top of the head, another being C, another being Snoopy in Space, the major cartoon involving peanuts. And giving you the opportunity to call in and ask questions and comments of the programming people and the talent. And we're going to offer that with Disney Plus. We're going to offer that with the folks at the HBO Max and Comcast service, and also with BET Plus as well. We've invited, last night's Tribeca TV Festival, I met in touch with the BET publicist. I also met the head of BET Plus, Devin Griffin. We've invited him to come on the show Monday or Friday of next week. And we've also invited Tracy Oliver, the executive producer and adapter of First Wives Club, one of the first original shows on BET Plus next Thursday, to come on the program. Also, we very shortly will make an invitation for Tyler Perry to come on. So again, that's something we're going to try to do. We have already set the invitation up. We've already emailed Apple's TV's PR people. We have not heard back from them yet. I hope they will respond in a positive way, because we really do want to showcase what they're doing. This is the next wave of TV, folks, and the next explosion of original programming on television. And we want to really showcase it in a big way right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Oh, incidentally, I'd like to hear what you think about Apple TV. In the few minutes we have before we get to our guest, anyone out there interested in buying Apple TV, I'd like to hear from you. Give me a call, 646-652-2906. It's 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, sign Apple04A. From what you've heard about Apple TV all along, are you interested in buying Apple TV? Would you do it? Are there any other shows that you're interested in? Love to hear. So between now and the half hour, at the bottom of the hour, let's hear from you. 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up next, our shows to know, both of them getting their initial play last night to great reviews and great response at the Tribeca TV Festival here in New York. But first, let's get some words in from the fine folks at Audible.com. There's an interesting book out now by Rachel Hollis called Girls Stop Apologizing. And it's all about women being more empowered in their lives and in their careers. And if you've heard about this book and you want to hear it for yourself, you can, as part of a trial run for 1 month at Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment information and inspiration, too. Over 180,000 titles to choose from. You listen to them on any device, and whoever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. And don't forget, among that catalog is the growing number of Audible originals. It's original audio productions, both scripted and unscripted. There's the best of Broadway, off-Broadway and regional theater, and great one-woman and one-man shows. And the best thing is, you can pick two of those as part of your trial run of three, not one, not two, but three free audiobooks that you can hear for a month. All you got to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised and hear for yourself how audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. Again, for three free audiobooks, 1 month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. And now it's time for our regular feature called Show to Know, where we highlight programs that we think are worth your watching. You might not know about because they're not well marketed, promoted, publicized, and fall on the radar screen of critics and journalists. The Tribeca TV Festival opened its third season last night. It'll be running at the Regal Battery Park Cinemas in Lower Manhattan through Sunday. And I had a chance to see two of the initial attractions. Both of them were produced here in New York. Both of them feature marvelous talent, and they're both worth your while. The first is Godfather of Harlem, which will debut on September 29th on Epix. Godfather of Harlem is actually based on a famous character named Bumpy Johnson. He was a convict who later became one of the chief mobsters of the days of the 1960s in Harlem. And in this series, he is played by the brilliant actor, Forest Whitaker, who also serves as an executive producer. And I can tell you that from the moment 2 seconds into the show, where he emerges from a prison cell, to the very end, nearly an hour later, he grabs you. His face says it all. His performance is dynamite. And that's just the first of the wonderful values you get from this series. What I loved about Godfather of Harlem is that it's not just another gangster Godfather drama. It's one that meshes in the culture of Harlem in the 1960s, the politics of the time, both local and national. It features wonderful actors playing two of the more unique personalities in 1960s history, Malcolm X, the civil rights leader, and Congressman Adam Clayton Powell III. And they're both well played. There's a lot of wonderful things to like about this show. The first episode is directed by John Ridley, who I've been a big fan of, especially since his great work in 3 seasons on American Crime on ABC. Some of the talent from American Crime, like Elvis Nolasco, is in this show. He's also in David Makes Man on the Oprah Winfrey Network. It's produced in New York. You get a great flavor of Harlem from the opening title, which I hope should be nominated for an Emmy Award, incidentally, beautifully put together, to the music soundtrack, to the great acting, and the terrific cinematography. And Ridley's handiwork is all over the place. The acting is marvelous. The person who plays Whitaker's wife is dynamite. And a fantastic performance by Vincent D'Onofrio, whose work I've enjoyed ever since I saw him on an episode of The Equalizer in the 1980s. He's one of the most unique character actors around. You may remember him, of course, from Law and Order Criminal Intent. He was the star of that show for most of its 10 seasons on the air on NBC and USA Network. And once again, he delivers as an Italian mobster who has a thing about African-Americans. It's a very chilling performance, and it's beautifully done. This show has some squeamish moments, but you can get by them. And yes, it's got scatological language all over the place, but it's beautifully written. And it's put together well, and John Ridley just does a marvelous, marvelous job. I hope he does more episodes of this because his handiwork is just terrific. But at the center of it all is Forest Whitaker's performance, and I hope it is remembered awards time next year. If the first episode is any indication, it's really dynamite. Godfather of Harlem will premiere on Epix on September 29th. Epix is available on cable systems all over the country. Check your local for where Epix is available on cable and satellite, and also on the Epix app. And for more details, go to epix.com. I mentioned a few minutes ago that BET Plus is going to start next Thursday, offering more than 1,000 hours of content for smart TV sets and smart devices, including 2 original series off the bat. And one of them is the long-awaited adaptation of First Wives Club, the very popular 1990s movie. And Tracy Oliver, the Girls Trip writer who put together the series, has done a marvelous job. It's funny, it's soulful, it's got very pungent moments. The cast is terrific. And just like the movie, it's about 3 women who are facing crises with the men in their lives and how they bond together and empower each other. From the opening moments, it's beautifully shot in New York, and the acting is just sublime. One of my favorite performances is from Jill Scott, the great singer who made her acting debut over a decade ago in that HBO series that the late Anthony Minghella did in South Africa. I liked her then. I like her even more now. I think this is a fantastic performance. Malik Yoba from New York Undercover plays her cheating husband, and the first episode is so well done. It unfolds beautifully and naturally. The acting is terrific. There's no stereotypes here, both by the men and the women, which I thought could have been a real problem. But Tracy Oliver's writing is so good, and along with her fellow production cohorts, it comes off beautifully. Like Godfather of Harlem, I can't wait to see how this episode goes. And the show got a great ovation, like Godfather of Harlem, last night at the Tribeca TV Festival. First Wives Club will debut on September 19th, that's 1 week from yesterday, on BET Plus, which will be available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices all over the place. And if you want more details about First Wives Club, go to www.bet.com, www.bet.com. One more thing. This show has been slotted all over the place. Originally, I believe it was supposed to be on TV Land. Then it was moved to Paramount Network. Then it was moved to BET. Now BET Plus. Thank goodness, finally, it is going to get the, I think, form it deserves. I think this is going to be a winner. And this is an indication of where BET Plus is going to go in terms of the kind of talent that will be on, I think this is a super indicator that this service is going to give us some fantastic original programming. So once again, Godfather of Harlem, Forest Whitaker, September 29th on FX. First Wives Club, Tracy Oliver, creating and executive producing it, debuts September 19th, next Thursday on BET+. And once again, we've invited Tracy and we've invited Devin Griffin, the general manager of BET+, to come on this program next Monday or Friday or sometime down the road. After that, we'll keep you posted. Now, is there a show you know that you like on television that people don't generally know about and you'd like them to know? Well, let me know, and if we use your suggestion on the air, you, of course, will get the credit. But we need to hear from you. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you are used with your suggestion, of course, you will get the credit. And we'd really love to hear from you. Anything's fair game here. So if there's a show you like, a show we should know about, well, let us know. And I think you'll really, really enjoy it. Okay? Okay. We have a great lineup for you coming up next week on Tomorrow We Tell Live. We have a 90-minute show for you coming up on Monday. And we kick it off with the director and the writer of a new series premiering on Showtime. A couple weeks ago, we highlighted Josh Quigman, the executive producer of Showtime's first Friday night original series, Couples Therapy, the unique documentary series. Well, apparently, Showtime wants to make Friday night more of an unscripted night, and they're doing it starting tonight with a true crime miniseries called Murder in the Bayou. On Monday, we'll have as our lead guest the director, Matthew Culkin, and the writer, Ethan Brown. And just confirmed early this afternoon, we'll have the creator and executive producer of Fox's new addition to its animation domination Sunday night lineup, Bless the Heart, Emily Spivey. And we hope to have another guest as well. This 90-minute edition of Tomorrow Be Televised coming your way Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And then on Friday, we'll have as our lead guest the creator and executive producer of the new NBC series starring Jimmy Smith's Bluff City Law, Dean Gregoris, will be joining us. And, as we've told you in recent weeks, we'll also have the director of To Tell the Truth and Hollywood Game Night, and more recently, the NBC summer hit Songland, Ivan Nadinsky. We'll find out about his work in the world of unscripted and game show television. We'll find out about his new company, Devious Media, that is working on two projects that might soon show up on your smart TV set or smart device. I'm Ivan Nadinsky, and from Bluff City Law, creator executive producer Gene Gerganis. It's all coming up next Friday, 1 week from today, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. When we come back, we will go live to Los Angeles, and you'll meet an entrepreneur who's really getting hot. He is the person behind Comedy Dynamics and Nacelle, and among projects coming up, the reboot of Mad About You, reteaming Paul Reiser and Helen Hunt this November on Spectrum Originals. Brian Volkweis will join us after we pause near the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio and www.spreaker.com. More than 35 million people around the world are about to listen and growing. It's your home for Honeycomb Hideout with Johnny Davis. Check it out tonight. Very entertaining program, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. That's Honeycomb Hideout with Johnny Davis right here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And don't forget, that's VTR247 at YouTube.com. Welcome back for the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. And those of you just joining us at the bottom of the hour, we appreciate you coming aboard with us. 70 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. So I'm outbound with you live from the Big Apple. Happy to have you aboard. Our guest for the day is coming up shortly. And if you have a question or comment for him, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You will find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And also coming up later this half hour, we will have our Clapper Tree Question of the Week. Get your pens, your pages, etc. ready, because you could win the upcoming book, The 3-Minute Rule, Say Less to Get More from Any Pitch or Presentation by unscripted TV producer and executive Brad Pedivic, who was with us a few weeks ago on this program. One of the other things that we love doing, aside from bringing you people like Aishis Washington, the current head of NAMIC, is people who are on the front lines of being entrepreneurial and cutting edge in the world of television. And that's the kind of person you are about to meet. He is the founder and owner of two companies that work together, Nacelle and Comedy Dynamics. And they started out doing, in terms of television, stand-up specials for Netflix and other players, but they're branching out on all sorts of things, including a very popular unscripted series on Netflix and this November, the reboot of Mad About You. Joining us live from Los Angeles in an interradio exclusive, the founder and owner of Comedy Dynamics and the Cell, Brian Volk-Weiss. Brian, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It is a pleasure. Brian, how long has Comedy Dynamics and the Cell been around, and why'd you start up?
Comedy Dynamics has been around for about 11 years. Nacelle, this is all a very complicated thing to explain, but basically Comedy Dynamics was created under a different company that I bought, and then I changed the name to Nacelle. So even though Nacelle is the parent company of Comedy Dynamics, Nacelle as an entity is only about 3 years old.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was the original mandate of your firm, and how has it evolved over time, where we've now become more than just comedy?
So we were producing stand-up specials, and you know, we were making the specials, and you know, we were retaining the rights to the special. We were just licensing them for a temporary amount of time to a Comedy Central or a Showtime or an HBO. So that had been going on for a while, and I read a book that was called The Long Tail. And The Long Tail, which I read in 2006, and I always like to mention the year I read it because it's an important year because the book came out before the iPhone. It came out basically a little bit before YouTube. It certainly came out before Netflix was streaming, yada, yada, yada. So I read the book, and the book predicted everything that was going to come. It didn't predict the names, but it did predict what was going to come. So it basically predicted what in the book it referred to as unlimited shelf space, meaning that, like, before the digital streaming age and the digital even transactional age, you would, you know, if I was a singer, you know, to get into Walmart was very hard because Walmart would rather be using their limited shelf space for Britney Spears than they would for, you know, someone like me that they didn't know. So what the book predicted was an era that was coming where everything would be out there, and it didn't matter if you were Britney Spears or a brand new singer, you could blow up. So that book said to me, well, if this is true, if the book is right, we should start making as much content as we can for that. If the book is right, then we will be able to monetize it much easier than in the world we live in now, which is dedicated to bricks and mortar and shelf space. Luckily for me, the book was 100% right, and that was the original impetus. So by having... We have, I believe, the biggest stand-up comedy catalog as an independent. The only people that have bigger catalogs than we do are like an HBO or a Netflix or whatever. So because of that, we were able to then get deals with everybody from Comcast to Charter to Dish to Roku to Amazon to Hulu, whatever, and we were able to build this network. And then once we had the network up and running, which we did via stand-up comedy and everybody's desire to have access to our library, it was kind of like, well, we have this network, we have these deals in place, why don't we do some stuff outside of comedy? And that's what led us to start more and more doing non-comedy. I mean, comedy is still far and away our biggest business, but we're doing toys that made us also help speed up that it's not just comedy we're doing.
Mm-hmm. As an entrepreneur, what do you think about the fact that you now have this incredible explosion of shelf space, as you put it? It's not just anymore Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and CBS All Access and so forth. It's all the services that smart TV set makers and smart TV device product makers are carrying, either on an exclusive or on a major way, but it's also now starting next Thursday, BET Plus. starting November 1st, Apple TV Plus. Starting November 12th, Disney Plus. Starting next year, HBO Max. Starting sometime early 2020, whatever Comcast and NBCUniversal is going to do in the same mold. And who knows who else is going to jump in. And also, I should say, starting yesterday, Vudu with original programming like Mr. Mom and down the road, interactive content. I want to get yourself the interactive content. But what do you think about this whole marketplace that is like a, you know, do you feel like kid in the candy store? Do you feel like we have to pick and choose our spots? What, how does the environment hit you?
Well, I mean, I can speak to this as a producer of content, but I can also speak to it as a consumer of content. And basically, my point of view is the same, but looking at it from a different angle in each case, it's like a country going from a dictatorship to a democracy. There are, in the long run, there are way more pros than cons shifting from a dictatorship to a democracy. But it's not all pros. You know, one of the great things about a dictatorship is it's very easy and simple to get things done. The bad part about a dictatorship is depending on the particular person in charge completely determines how your life is going to be. So if you have a good king or queen, things are good. If you have a bad king or queen, things are bad. So in the content side, you know, when there was just three networks, if there were three people in charge that did stuff you liked, you were happy. If there were three people in charge that did stuff you didn't like, you were not happy, but you had no choice. The democracy that has come with the unlimited shelf space, the good news is there is so much content, so many shows are getting made that would have never been made 5 years ago, let alone 20 years ago, and that's just awesome. The bad news is, you know, instead of like, you know, hey, it's Wednesday night, I'm going to watch MacGyver, now it's like, hey, it's Wednesday night, 300 things I could watch. What am I going to do? And then you end up watching a rerun of Friends because you're so overwhelmed with everything that's new. So that I'm saying as a viewer, as a producer, it's the greatest thing in the world because every company you just mentioned except for Vudu, we're in business with making original series. And it is a wonderful, wonderful thing because we're in a position where, you know, we are telling stories in a way with, first of all, tremendous resources. But also, these companies really trust their producers. So a lot of the companies that have been around longer, you're really dealing with companies that think they know their audience and are telling you how to make the shows. With all of these new streamers, it's hard to get in business with them, but once you're in business with them, they really trust you to make the show that you want to make. So that's the beauty of it.
We're speaking with Brian Volk Weiss. He is the founder and entrepreneur of Comedy Dynamics and his parent company, Nacelle, which has done a lot of stand-up specials work. And in the last couple of years, they have branched out into other programming. We're going to talk about one of those shows, which is about to go into its third season on Netflix, called The Toys That Made Us, as well as the reboot of Mad About You. Brian joins us live in Los Angeles this half hour on Tamavi Televised. I'm Matt Mobley, live from New York. Glad to have you with us for the program All About Television. Hope you had a wonderful week. Get ready for a super weekend. No, I will, with the Tribeca TV Festival here in New York, and Diversity Week coming next week, and a whole lot of other TV activities through the rest of September. If you have a question or comment for Brian, make sure you ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room. It's huge today. Simon Apple 04 by name. We thank everybody for using the room and everybody for joining us today. And coming up Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, 90 Edition kicks off with the director and writer of the new Showtime true crime miniseries, Murder in the Bayou, that begins tonight. The director is Matthew Galkin, the writer is Ethan Brown, and they'll both be with us live. And then we'll have the creator and executive producer of the new Fox animation domination series, Bless the Heart, Emily Spivey. Plus more, all Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televised. Brian, at what point did you say we can do more than comedy, and how did that result in The Toys That Made Us?
I do not come from a comedy background as it relates to, like, when I was in high school and college. I was primarily science fiction and action movies with some drama, but very little comedy. So I've always, you know, I kind of fell into comedy, and I fell in love with it, and it's, like, my favorite thing in the world now. But I always, you know, I'm in show business, and I'm not a lawyer or a dentist in Queens because of Star Wars. So Star Wars for me was always the catalyst as to why I live in California and I do what I do. So I always wanted to do stuff outside of comedy. It's just producers get typecast just like actors. So I was the comedy guy, so it was just easy to do comedy. What ended up happening was I was in business with Netflix in a big way in stand-up comedy, and there was a guy named Devin who was in the comedy side who got moved over to the unscripted side, and this was when Netflix was just getting into unscripted, and he had been to my house, and he had seen my toy collection. So I had been trying to sell what would become the toys that made us for like 6 or 7 years, and I kept failing. So he had been to my house, he had seen my toy collection, and we had a tape. So he was like, listen, I get it, but I don't know if you can make this show, you know, because you're a comedy guy. So I, on my own dime, produced like a 6-minute tape showing him how I would do the show. He loved the tape and greenlit 8 episodes, and that's how it happened. I mean, had he not been from one department to another, had he not seen my toy collection, I don't think any of this would have happened.
And these were toys like He-Man, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Lego, you know, the time of our lives kind of toys.
That's right. I call it the Mount Rushmore of toys.
Yeah. And the show is coming back for a third season in November, Eyes in November.
Correct, November 15th.
And it's also coming on the first season on Blu-ray.
That's right, October 1st, Blu-ray, November 15th, season 3.
And what are some of the toys you're going to highlight in season 3?
We got My Little Pony, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Power Rangers, and wrestling toys.
And incidentally, My Little Pony, the animated series, which has been on now for, hard to believe, 9 years on Discovery Family Channel, is wrapping up, I believe, this weekend with a primetime edition, 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock Eastern Time on Discovery Family Channel.
You know your pony.
No, certainly do. Know people in my family, hopefully know, grown up on it. Let's go to Mad About You. There's a lot of discussion about this. It's been talked about for years. Would Paul Reiser and Helen Hunt reunite? What finally set it off to bring the show back?
I've known Paul for a long time. We've worked together for a long time. And, I mean, as we started seeing all of these other shows come back, like Will and Grace and, you know, a few others, you know, it was kind of like, why wouldn't we talk about this? So Paul and Helen, they and I'm, you know, I'm saying things they've already said, but they started having a series of lunches. You know, they had to decide, you know, could they be excited about this again? Was there a way to be excited about it? And they found a way to get excited about it, and they decided to go for it. And we were very lucky that Charter Spectrum, you know, greenlit 12 episodes right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. With Sony, which, of course, had made the original Mad About You.
Yeah, Sony owns the show. So, yeah, Sony's the studio. They own the show. But it'll be airing the same way they made it originally, and it was on NBC. In this capacity, they're making it, but it's on Charter Spectrum.
Right, which is available big on demand free on Charter cable systems all over the country. I've been doing very well with that. LA's Finest, their first show with Gary and Jessica Alba, did very well. We have the producers of the show on back in May. They did very well with Curfew. their miniseries from Britain. They did a Spanish language show about soccer that came out also late this summer. And so far they've got 3 for 3 in terms of their track record. What is the key to making Mad About You work again? Is it something tangible, or is it a case of bringing the chemistry back? Is it a case of doing the show finally in New York as opposed to L.A.? Because the show is supposed to be set in New York. Is it advancing the story? What do you think should be the key to having this be successful?
Just so you know, the show is shooting in L.A. So we there was some stuff shot in New York, but the primary shoot is in L.A. I don't mean to be cliched, but you're asking me a question, and unfortunately I have to give you a cliched answer. I mean, it's all about Helen and Paul. I mean, it's that simple. If either one of them didn't want to come back, let alone both, I don't think you do the show. It's not like Star Trek where you have a ship and 20 characters and the Klingons and the Borg and whatever. It's Mad About You. It's about this couple and their point of view on life. And it's just about the two of them.
And I'm happy to say the Don Was theme song, Final Frontier, is back.
I got to say no comment to that. I mean, that is definitely a something for Paul, Helen, or Sony, or Charter to answer. You know, it's funny. I watch all the actors that are in the Marvel movies. Like, I mean, it's so hard for them to do press because, like, they don't know what's public or not. And on a scale a billionth of that, I'm the same way with Mad About You, where I just when it comes to the question you just asked, like, I got to make sure I am not ahead of anybody.
Yeah, not totally understand. I know they have been. I've seen the Charters now running on their cable systems during commercial breaks. The initial trailer of Mad About You, and it does use the theme, so it just hit me like, oh, it's natural, absolutely. How can you not disassociate the Final Frontier from the show? It's one of the best theme songs of a 1990s sitcom or any show around, so it's really amazing. Clarence Weiss from Comedy Dynamics and the show. He's the person who founded that company, and he's with us this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. We'll find out what he's going to be doing, let's say, over the next year for other people and how they're going to expand beyond what they are currently doing. That's coming up in a bit. And our classic trivia question of the week, too. If you have a question or comment for Brian, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple049. Once again, coming up next Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, another good one for you. We've got the creative executive producer of the new NBC legal drama, starring Jimmy Smith, who's returned to NBC since The West Wing, and then before that, L.A. Law. Called Bluff City Live, Bluff City Law. That'll be premiering Monday night, I think, at 10 o'clock Eastern Pacific Time. Dean Gurganis will be with us. And the director of To Tell the Truth on ABC, Songland, just got renewed for a second season on NBC, along with Hollywood Game Night, Ivan Iskew with us. And we'll find out about his company, Deviance Media, that is working on a couple concepts that may become something on your smart TV set or smart TV device very, very soon. Ivan Iskew and Dean Gurganis from Bluff City Law, they're both with us live. Be with them, well, I as well. That's next Friday, 3 News New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Brian, what else is in the pipeline beside the revival of Mad About You for your company?
Let's see. I always like answering that question when I'm in my office because I can look at my walls and see what's going on because it's always quite a blur. We have a new show coming out with Craig Ferguson called Hobo Fabulous. That's going to be a 6-episode short order we're doing. This is our, I believe, 4th or 5th time working with Craig, so we're very excited about that. We just had Gary Owen come out. What's that?
I was just saying, he has so much fun. I love The Late Late Show, love Celebrity Name Game. The man is marvelous. I'm thrilled he's coming back to television. We miss him.
He is absolutely just wonderful guy and very, very funny. So we have that. And also, I don't know if you know this or not, we have announced a spin-off of the Toys That Made Us, which is called The Movies That Made Us. And that is also coming out this year.
And is that on Netflix as well? And what are some of the movies that will be featured?
It's a great question. Dirty Dancing, Ghostbusters, Die Hard, and oh my God! I mean, it's so funny. I got this weird mental block. But Home Alone.
And I understand. I read a press release that Disney Plus may have a show for you, or you a show for them.
I don't think anything has been said about that publicly. So you have very good ears and ways of acquiring information. But we may be doing something with them. That, and if we do, it'll be announced in a couple weeks.
You mentioned earlier that you're a big science fiction fantasy fan. Do you see your company at some point doing a science fiction scripted or unscripted series?
Absolutely. 100%.
Anything close, or is it something you think is going to be a long-term goal?
I think we will be I think we'll be there in less than 5 years. I mean, it might be 4 years and 11 months, but the thing that's going on now is, like, it's so funny. Like, I had to, like, rewire my brain because it's, like, it used to be, like, something I thought would take 1 year would take 5 years. And now it seems that something I think will take 5 years takes 1 year. So I think, to be safe, let me just say we have nothing on the drawing board yet that's a big science fiction scripted show. Zero. But knowing where I want to go, knowing how other things are working as well as they are, I bet you we're less than 5 years out. That's a guess.
Do you work that way, by the way, as an entrepreneur, that you look not just 1 year out, but say 2, 3, 4, 5 years out and see this is the future I want to create with this company? And along the way, do you see using things like crowdfunding or crowdsourcing or blockchain and cryptocurrency to fund your work?
Here's what I do, and I don't sit there and have like a 1 year plan, a 5 year plan, a 10 year plan. I do not do that. What I do is every Christmas break, I come up with a list of goals for the year, basically. Around July 4th, I look at how I'm doing, and I look, did I cross this off? Did I cross that off? And I pivot accordingly. And then basically every three-day weekend, so Memorial Day, Labor Day, I do a mini looking at my – and it's literally a list I keep in my notebook that I have there, every day. And I just, I just track stuff, I guess, about a year out. That's really how I do it. I think blockchain will be revolutionary in many ways that'll be sort of invisible. I think that blockchain will make banking more secure. I think it'll make streaming more secure. We have done a couple deals where supposedly we're getting paid in blockchain. I don't know how that's working, to be completely honest with you. I mean, I have signed contracts that the lawyers tell me are cool to sign. I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Oh, sorry. I don't know if I can curse. Sorry. I don't know what the hell they're talking about. We are doing those deals. But one of the things that I'm a big believer in for myself and my company is just keep it simple. There are so many parts of what we're doing that are so risky that anywhere I can be simple and, for lack of a better expression, boring is where I try to do it. So I don't want to redo our financial infrastructure, If people start saying to us, we're only paying in blockchain or crypto, then fine. But, until that happens, we're just keeping it simple.
You can find out more about Brian's company and all the projects it's involved with now and future at ComedyDynamics.com. It's ComedyDynamics.com. The third season of The Toys That Made Us will premiere on Netflix November 15th. The first two seasons will be available on Blu-ray starting October 1st. And on November 20th, the reboot of Mad About You with Paul Reiser and Helen Hunt will premiere on Charter Spectrum Originals through Video On Demand on Charter cable systems all over the country. Again, that will be on November 20th. Brian Koch-Weiss, head of the Stella Comedy Dynamics, thank you again for joining us. We look forward to having you back. We'd love to have you back when Mad About You comes on in November. Congratulations on everything you've done so far, and hopefully a lot of great future long-running things in store.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, and have a great weekend.
You too, Brian. All the greatest. Take care.
Bye.
Brian Koch-Weiss of Comedy Central Nacelle joining us live from Los Angeles. And before we go, time for our classic trivia question of the week. Here's the question. We posted originally on Monday's show in honor of a Billy Brady renovation whose HGTV executives behind it were on our show early this month. Here's the question. Name the Brady Bunch's pet. We want both the name of the pet and the type of the pet. Name the Brady Bunch's pet. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name where you're emailing from. If you post with the correct answer, you will win Brant Pendennick's book, The Three-Man Rule, coming out shortly. Stay with us to get more from any pitch or presentation. And if you missed the question a moment ago, we'll post it over the weekend on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So do so, and all the very best. I want to thank Brian for coming on today. Again, we're sorry that HGTV Washington, the president of it, going into year number two, can't be with us. We are going to reschedule it for an upcoming episode. And thanks to all of you, of course, for listening. Don't forget, coming up on Monday, Matthew Galkin and Ethan Brown, the director and writer, respectively, of the new Showtime true crime series movie tonight, Murder in the Bayou, and Emily Spidey, creative executive producer of Fox's new Sunday Night Animation show premiering in a couple weeks, Bless the Heart. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, we make it easy. Go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out the podcast, available 24/7 all weekend long on iTunes, on Spreaker, Podcast App, Apple TV, and of course, iHeartRadio.com. If you go to iHeartRadio.com, put some Bobby Tell back in the search bar, click your in, or go to the categories, click in entertainment, and you get our show. What do you think about our program today in the comments I did in the first half of the show? What's your thoughts on where TV is at and where it's going, such as Apple TV Plus and Apple Arcade and BET Plus and so on? Love to hear from you. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. However you communicate with us, it's appreciated because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants. That's those of Block Talk Radio, Speaker, and IR Radio. Our production associate, BTR, is Candace Williams. Andy Toews, Block Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonberg, executive content producer. The co-founder of BTR, Alan Levy, and Bob Charish. Tomorrow we tell about is brought to you today by Audible.com, an Amazon company. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For three free audio books, one month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. For tomorrow we televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic week ahead. Make it a safe and great one. We're back on Monday, 9th edition, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and the iRadio Podcast Network. And please keep the thoughts and prayers coming for everybody still under the impact of Hurricane Dorian. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.